We are grateful each week to be able to broadcast my dad's messages from the Word of God. Today, Dad guides us how to be like Jesus, how his life is a model and example for our life in his sermon titled, The Footsteps of Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're always happy when the week closes and we can come to your house, your home, and we can talk about Jesus. And we're really going to look at Jesus today, called Footsteps of Jesus. And it's how Jesus lived. And we want to live like Jesus. We want to be like Jesus. So that's going to be our sermon today. But before the sermon, I want to share some letters. And so you get your pencil and paper, and at the end of the service, I'll have an address, and maybe you'll write us a letter. And wouldn't we love that? But we have some letters here. The first one is from Superior, Wisconsin. And this person writes, I want to say hi and that I love you all. You are my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I would like to request a new song and the literature after I said a prayer to Pastor Salem. Thank you. God bless you. And so here's a lady, and she's accepted the Lord. Sometimes they accept the Lord right during the service. We'll tell you what to say. You just simply say, you know, dear, go to Jesus. Say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and take my sins away. And then I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Just use your own words. And I had one man, he prayed that prayer kind of, and he didn't know you're supposed to say amen. When he got to the end, he says, goodbye. I says, that's just fine. God knows. So here she's writing. She liked the new song. Now, what is the new song? The new song is a little Bible study that we put out every month, and we put it out free of charge. And every month we have a different study. Now, during the month of March, we're going to have marks of a mature believer. Are you a growing Christian? Are you a mature believer? Some are on milk and some are on strong meat. So where are you? Then we're going to have that. That's our Bible study. You just write to us and we'll give you the address at the close of the service and we'll send it free and postpaid. I don't know how we can afford to do it. Probably going to go broke, but praise the Lord, we'll go broke happy. Here is Milwaukee, Oregon. Listen to this story here. This is a lady writing in. I listen to your program every Sunday. I'm a shut-in. Right now, I'm wondering why so many of our grown children don't seem to care about their parents and grandparents. They no longer can take a few minutes to visit them and visit the elders or even pick up an old-fashioned phone and call them. For many years, I picked up and delivered older people to and from church. I was active in the nursing home ministry. I saw and heard how their families had no time for them anymore. They were so busy. They lived so far away, 10 or 15 miles. I never thought I would be one of those forgotten older people. Now I am. I'm 89, not the best of health, living by myself in an assisted living complex. I can hardly care for myself and need their help at times, but I don't get their help. Most of all, I need their love. I read that and I thought, well, how are you taking care of your parents? How are you taking care of people, older people that are shut in and can't get out anymore? And what they need is they don't need your prayers. They need your prayers, but they need you to go and see them and talk to them. They're like the little girl. And the mother put her to bed and says, now, and the little girl was a little afraid. And the mother set a chair there. And she says, now, Jesus is sitting right on that chair there, and you don't need to worry. And then pretty soon the little girl said, but mother, I need something with skin on it. Well, that's what they need, something with skin on it. So you can touch them, you can give them a hug and pray with them. Oh, don't forget these people that are shut-ins and shut out from the world. Just have to push that. Here's Ames, Iowa. And these are brothers, two brothers, and they ride in the rodeos. You know, the wild horses and the wild bulls, they ride them until they're thrown off and about break their neck. And one of the boys writes, and he's from Ames, Iowa. He's a grown man now. But he writes and he says, my mom didn't like us going to rodeos. She always waited up for us to make sure we weren't hurt. Then she went to bed and was relieved until our next rodeo. Well, I'm a sheep herder. I was raised as a sheep herder. My mother never stayed awake worrying about me with the sheep. They went to her bed early, and so did I. And so we just pray for one another. And I just got a kick out of this because these two boys, and they both, neither one of them got killed, so thank God for that. They're probably crippled up, but they're still breathing. And one more letter, Winnipeg, Canada. Many thanks for your Sunday morning hour. I'm not able to get out to our church anymore, and I so enjoy your service. And so we do pray for these people that can't get out anymore. And you know what God said told Isaiah? He told Isaiah the prophet, comfort ye my people. And that means some of the people that were in sin and some of the people that were old and some of the people that couldn't get around. Comfort my people. And that's what Christian Worship Hour has done that from day one. We're going on almost 40 years now, 39 years. And we've always have had a place for the people of God that are shut-ins and are in beds of sickness and weary. And so God bless you. Now you get your pencil and paper because I'd love to hear from you. But first, let's look at the footsteps of Jesus. And we learn from watching others. And the main thing is don't look at other people. Don't pattern your life after other people. Pattern your life after Jesus. Because other people are poor old sinners. We're all in the same boat. And none of us is perfect. And we're going to fail you. But Jesus will never fail you. So look at Jesus. And that's what Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. He says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." So let's look at the footsteps of Jesus. Let's start out at Bethlehem, where he started out his earthly life. Now, he was always God, and he created the whole world, and so he's always God, but he wasn't always in the flesh. And so he takes on this body in Bethlehem, and that teaches us that we need to be very humble people, because Jesus Christ was born in a place where, in a stable. He was laid in a manger. He didn't have and he lived his life. He didn't have a place to lay his head. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. That's the way Jesus lived. And he lived a humble life, open to God and willing to work for him and serve him. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. And so it's interesting to think that the bread of life came to Bethlehem, the house of bread. And Jesus said, "I am that bread of life." So this bread of life and this walking with the Lord, let's just be sure. And sometimes after we've been a Christian for a while, I'm 96 years old. I've been a Christian. I've known the Lord 86 years. I accepted Jesus when I was 10 years old. And maybe I could get proud. I've been with the Lord 86 years, but I failed him so many times I can't get proud. And just remember what we were before we were saved. We weren't so hot stuff either. We're poor old lost sinners on going to hell. And all of our righteousness was like filthy rags. We had nothing. And we came to Jesus and he saved us. And that's what we have to do. And so this wonderful Jesus comes to Bethlehem. And he just surprised everybody because he's the Son of God. And he is going to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when the Magi came, they said, "We're seeking him who was born King of the Jews." He's born king. He wasn't made a king. He was born a king. And he was a King of a King and Lord of Lords when he was a tiny baby on Mary's breast. That wonderful Jesus. And it started out. And so they tell us in Paul tells us in Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was God, yet he didn't put himself up as God, but he laid aside his power and might and glory, and he became one of us, and he walked among men, and he eventually went to the cross and gave himself on the cross. That's the kind of a life, a humble, humble life. And God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So he teaches us to be humble people and walk with the Lord and not be proud. Be careful. And it's so easy to become proud because we can be proud of the dumbest things. And when we don't really have all that much, but we just be proud of those smallest little things. And God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. From there on, he goes on to Nazareth. And Jesus lived 30 years in Nazareth. And all those years, all we know about Jesus in those 30 years was one time when they went to Jerusalem when Jesus was 12 years old. One time. So there's 30 silent years. We know what he did. He worked in Joseph's carpenter shop. So he knew what it was to have sweat and calluses and an aching back. He meant that he would have to earn his bread by the sweat of his brow, just like all of the rest of humanity. And so Nazareth is teaching us, be patient. Jesus had to wait 30 years before he went out. And Jesus knew what he was here for. They have a song they sing, poor little Jesus boy, didn't know who he was, didn't know he's going to be a savior. Jesus knew he's going to be a savior before he was born. Jesus knew he's going to be a savior and go to the cross before there ever was a tree. He knew it before there was a creation because he created the world, and the scriptures tell us before the creation of the world, he was slain. He was going to die. So he knew it all. And Jesus knew what lay ahead of him. He knew that he had a world to redeem. He knew he had a life to live and to give. 30 years you have to live. He knew he had a ministry to begin. He knew he had teachings to impart. He had to do miracles. He knew that. He knew he had to choose disciples and train them. He knew he had to go to Gethsemane and agonize and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. He knew he had to go to the cross and have them drive those spikes in his hands and his feet and die. He knew that. And in Gethsemane, he agonized because he took all the sins of the world into his spotless, sinless, pure body, carried those sins to the cross, shed his blood to pay for those sins. And he knew that he had a grave to vanquish, and he knew there'd be the resurrection. And all of that, Jesus had to wait 30 years. Are you impatient, my friend? Are you chomping at the bit? You want to get going and doing things? Maybe you're a shut-in. You don't get around anymore. I'm 96 and I'm slowing down. Believe me, I don't jump rope anymore and run with the little dogs and all those things. I have a walker, and I praise God for whoever invented that walker. It's just a marvelous thing. I hang on to that for dear life. And so just be patient and slow down and back off. And maybe you're a shut-in and you say, well, what good am I here anyway? Well, you're here because God wants you to be here. He has something for you to do. Maybe it's just to pray, and there's more power in prayer than you can imagine. But you can witness to people. You get a telephone and call some people and tell them about Jesus. I heard one little lady, she just got the telephone book, and she started calling people. And I says, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And she says, my, I hear words that I never ever heard before. So, but what, you know what? She did find people. They would listen and accept Jesus. You're here for a purpose. And so don't be impatient. We're told in the scripture, Psalm 27, verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be patient. And while you're waiting, be of good courage. And if you do that, he will strengthen your heart. He won't go to strengthen your legs so you can do the two-step again, but he'll strengthen your heart. You see, the outer man gets decayed, it goes downhill, but the inner man, the spiritual man, grows stronger and stronger every day. Learn to be patient. And from the Nazareth, then he went to the Jordan River. And there at the Jordan River, he was baptized. And he was baptized by a man named John the Baptist. John the Baptist lived out in the wilderness. and he ate a wild locust and honey. That was what he ate for a meal. And he had an old dress made out of camel's hair. And he probably had long hair because he didn't have many barbers running around out in the Judean wilderness. And he came to this Jordan River and he began to preach. And he preached to the people. And he says, repent of your sins. Repent of your sins and then be baptized. And the multitudes were there, multitudes of people. And then Jesus comes. And the Holy Spirit tells John the Baptist, that's the Messiah. That's Jesus. And John the Baptist pointed his finger at Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And the whole world knew that was Jesus. And Jesus says, I want you to baptize me, John. And John says, I don't even deserve to take the latch from your sandals. I don't dare do that. And Jesus says, I want you to baptize me. And Jesus didn't have sins to confess, and he didn't have any sins at all, so he'd taken the sins of the people. And I'm identifying myself with the people because I'm going to die for this multitudes. I'm going to die for the whole world, and I'm going to be one of them. You baptize me. And John the Baptist baptized him, and when he did, God the Father out of heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And the Holy Spirit descended in the form of a dove. And that's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ is the Son. And there you have the Holy Trinity. God the Father in the heaven. God the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. And God the Son being baptized in the Jordan River. That wonderful Savior. And so this is teaching us that we have to just, we have to give ourselves to God. We have to submit ourselves entirely to God. And Jesus is going to start his ministry now. And he's dedicating, he's giving his whole life to God, and he's letting the whole world know it. And then from there, what did he do? He went into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he goes to this place and at the Jordan. And in the wilderness, he has to meet the devil. The devil comes to tempt him. And after Jesus is there 40 days and 40 nights fasting, the devil comes and tempts him to turn the stones into bread. And Jesus could have done it, but he didn't do it because he was representing you and me. And I can't turn stones into bread. I'll have to go hungry. And Jesus went hungry. And he identified with all of us as our Savior. And he's teaching us, you're going to be tested by Satan. The same old Satan is around, and he's tempting people and testing people all the time. And you think, oh, I'm a good, strong Christian. He won't test me. Oh, listen, my friend, he went to the Son of God and tested him. And he'll come to you. He'll come to you. And what we do is stay close to Jesus and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And draw your strength from Jesus. And then Jesus goes from the wilderness. He goes to Gethsemane. Because he's coming to the cross. And in Gethsemane it talks about agony. And it talks about submission to the will of God. The word Gethsemane means olive press. And the people had an olive press. It was a huge stone, maybe 4 feet wide in diameter. And they would put the olives there and that heavy stone on it, on another stone. And then they would turn that, grind it around and crush those olives. And that's what happened to Jesus. He's going into that Garden of Gethsemane. And in that Garden of Gethsemane, he's going to be bruised and he's going to be hurt. He's going to have the sins of the world poured into his holy body. And he's going to agonize. And he's going to agonize to the point where he sweats, as it were, great drops of blood. And he's praying to Jesus, to God in heaven. And he's saying, oh, Father in heaven, if there's any other way we can get around this, if there's any other way we can do this, let's go that other route. And the Father told him, no, there's only one way that we can get rid of sins, and that is to go and shed your blood on the cross. The people can't do that because they have to die for their own sins. They can't save anybody else. They can't even save themselves because they sin against God. And that sacrifice has to be divine and it has to be human. Otherwise, you could have a dog and sacrifice a dog for a man, but you can't do that. And you can't sacrifice a man against the God Almighty. And there's only one can do it, and that's Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus, who is God and man. And he goes to the cross, and he dies on the cross, and it teaches us submission. Just give your life to Jesus and say, "Dear Jesus, here's my life, not part of it, all of it. And I'll do whatever you want me to do. You young people, now's the time to do that. He has a plan for your life. He has something special for you to do." And so you say, "Dear Jesus, here's my life." And then you read your Bible and get into a church where they're preaching the Bible. Read the Gospel of John, and God will lead you and help you. And so from Gethsemane, he goes to the cross. And from the cross, he goes to the grave. And from the grave, he's raised from the dead. And someday, he's coming back. And we're going to see him. And Paul talks about that. He says, "The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord." Do you have Jesus in your heart? He wants to come into your heart. He says in Revelation, "I stand at the door and knock," the door of your heart. If any man open that door, I will come in. I'll come into his heart. I'll come into his life. And you says, "Yes, I want him to come, but I don't know what to say." Here's what you say. You just, in your own words, tell Jesus, "I'm a sinner. I've committed some awful sins. And I just ask you to please come into my heart and wash away my sins. I prayed that prayer 87 years ago when I was 10 years old. I remember it as if it was plain as yesterday. I didn't have any feelings. I didn't have any goose pimples. I didn't see any lights or hear any bells. But I just knew in my heart my sins were gone and I had peace and joy." And you can do that. You just pray that. "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've sinned against you." Maybe you're saying, "Dear Jesus, I've drifted away from you. I walked with you one time, but I drifted away. I'm coming home. I'm coming back." And Jesus will take you like the prodigal son. He'll throw his arms around you. He'll hug you and he'll kiss you. And he'll rejoice that the son has come back, the daughter's come back. Maybe you drifted away. Once you were walking with the Lord, you drifted away. Come back. He wants you to come back. And if you've never accepted Jesus, it's a first-time decision. It's just that simple. "Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner." And he knows it, but he wants you to confess it. "And I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Take away my sins. And I'll follow you. I'll turn from my evil ways. I'll turn from my old ways and I'll walk with you. Thank you, Jesus." Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And so you write to us. And especially you people on shortwave, now I want to give it to you in just another second, so you get ready. And then what you can do, you can write to us and you can pray for us. And then you need to say, "Dear Lord, should I help them in their work?" We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And I'll tell you what you can do, and we get gifts all the time. We get it over the internet. You could get it on ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place where you can donate. And you can donate anywhere in the world. We'll get it in American currency and we'll pay our bills. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, "How do I know how they're going to spend that money? I can't check on them." Well, we got somebody that checks on us real good. You say, "God, yeah, God, that's right." But we have what we call an organization. It's a worldwide organization. And it's an evangelical council for financial accountability. They audit our books. They drive us crazy, going all of our papers, every receipt for every penny we get, and how we spend that money exactly the way we declare it. And nothing goes on the side. It all goes into the ministry, 100%. So you can send a gift. You can help us. And if you do that, we'll use it to reach other people with the gospel. And then if you write to us, we'll send you literature to help you get a Christian started in the Christian life. And if you want the new song, the little Bible study, oh, you're going to love that. And so you just write, and we'll be glad to send it. Our little Bible study this week, this month, is the marks of a believer. That is, are you a strong Christian? Are you a baby Christian, or are you a mature Christian? And there's some things that we can test it according to the scriptures. And so you can have a little exam, and then you can correct your ways if maybe you need to do that. But now we're going to pray. And every time we pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Pakistan today. And so we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, we thank you for the multitudes that are praying right now for you to come into their heart. And we thank you, oh God, there's rejoicing in heaven because they can see and they can tell these people coming to Jesus. And then we're praying for those who are on shut-ins and those who are on beds of sickness and those who are lonely and those who are weary. We pray for the young people that are having a hard time of it. And we pray for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters in Pakistan. Lord, I know that during this service, some of them have died. And they've died because they love Jesus and they won't renounce him. They won't turn back and they won't give up. And they stand for Jesus, and they give their life. And so bless them and help them to know that they're an encouragement to us. And it just makes us so, yes, we're going to stand for Jesus. If we have to die, we're going to stand for Jesus. That's part of our church. That's part of our company. That's our heritage. And if they can do it, we can do it by the grace of God. And we're going to serve you the best way we can. Thank you, Jesus, in his name. Amen. So now you write to us, all you shortwave people, love to hear from you. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Won't we rejoice? And if you have a prayer request or if you have a question you like, we'll try to help you with that. And you pray for us and we'll pray for you. And someday we'll all be in heaven round the throne of grace. And we'll get to meet you and we'll get to know you. I can hardly wait, but we got to do that. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.